Welcome into DC On Screen, episode 326. I'm your host, David C. Robertson. This, Jason Goss, my co-host.
Hello.
Today we're going to get super spoilery on Legends of Tomorrow, Camelot 3000. This is episode 212 of Legends of Tomorrow, by the way. To recap, Rip makes a quick run to the future to confront and murder Dr. Midnight, giving him the second of four pieces of the Spear of Destiny. The Legends, who arrive too late to intervene, find the aftermath and a neat piece of mind control tech. Their next stop is Camelot, which it turns out is real. Stargirl has carefully influenced this time period so that it becomes the Camelot of Legend, where she is hiding herself as Merlin, and the third spear as the, or the piece, as the Sword of the Stone. The Legends arrive and quickly to befriend the Round Table in general, but Rip and Damien show up with a mind-controlled King Arthur and threaten to kill the king if the spear isn't delivered to them. After much debate, Stargirl does eventually hand the piece over to Vixen, seemingly avoiding the need for the Legends to participate in a doomed defense of Camelot. But Rey is just too inspired to help himself and refuses to leave the kingdom behind. Eventually, the team decides that they have to help Rey and Camelot as well. After Jax discovers the way to use the mind control tech they found earlier, Rory focuses his years of personal torment into the device, which destroys the tech, keeping Rip's army subservient to him. Arthur seemingly slays Rip on the battlefield and Damien leaves him for dead. Sarah, however, saves him, which may be a bad idea because Gideon still responds to Captain Rip, even if he's evil. inherently silly episode, I feel
like. It was just all over the place.
I was happy with the year 3000. I guess there's not many places you can go with a light switch. that was funny.
That actually was one of Jax's best lines. I guess there's not many places you can go with a light switch. That's pretty. We've maxed
find the
out
lights.
Here.
What the hell does a light switch look like in the year 3000?
Oh,
flip. Oh.
All right, dude. Like something that I was kind of annoyed by early on was like Midnight was an underutilized character the first time we saw him, and this time he didn't make it to the damn title screen.
I know.
And I mean, he's dead, like D-E-D.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's, yeah, he's gone. it's bad. But man, I gotta tell you, Evil Rip is maybe the most menacing thing I've seen on at least Legends so far.
Yeah, I kind of don't want him back.
Well, he's actually scarier than any of the villains they've put upon us so far. Mm-hmm. Like, there's something about him that I'm more frightened of than, you know. Savage sure as hell wasn't frightening. He was just weird. It's like having a rabid dog near you.
Ah, yeah. Shara.
Yeah. It's like it's pretty much a homeless man on bath salts. That's what he reminded me of most of the time.
Yep.
But, and like Dark was scary because he had good, you know, good powers and he had so much fun being scary, but that was frightening in like an off-putting way, but it wasn't actually frightening. Like Rip can do actual evil pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just constantly impressed by Arthur Darvill.
Yes, he's very good. Mm-hmm. Very, very good. I don't understand why they can't just hide the spear somewhere and then come back because they're time travelers.
Because
there was like this whole, like, we know we have to get away with this chunk of the spear. And like, no, we have to go back and save Rey. And I was just kind of going, or just go put the spear somewhere for a minute and then go back in time and save Rey, and then go pick up the piece of the spear later.
Yeah, I think they underutilize their ability to bounce around in time in the same way that I feel like Supergirl underutilizes her speed factor.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you gotta let some stuff kind of go every now and then. In a show with so many powers, there's always like we always have Firestorm sitting there. Like,
yeah,
first thing that should have happened was like, yeah, he should have transmogrified the spear, therefore destroying its potency. First thing that should have happened. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we got to let some things go just to have a show.
I don't know. Would it destroy its potency, or would it just be like the puddle of destiny?
I don't know. Make it into an orange.
Or even better, like
it's an orange of destiny.
The orange of destiny. Turn it into a baby chick. The chick of destiny.
Yeah.
I'm actually on board that, and I think it would be a lot of fun, and I really wish I wrote for the show now. People would hate me.
Yes.
Like, oh no, it's another David Robertson
episode.
You're
chasing around
the
chicken of destiny? It's bullshit. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, so.
Turn it into a gas. The gas of destiny. Like a wind comes by and just like everything in the immediate vicinity just changes for no good reason.
Yeah, and I'd have to turn it into a guitar pick.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Just for a brief
send-up. To make the obvious reference. Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't even make it through that movie, but I'd still send it up a little bit.
Yeah. I made it all the way to Grohl.
I didn't even make it that far.
Made it to him, at least. Question?
Sure.
How? In what way does someone dress like a leper?
I don't know.
I mean, it was funny, like, but you have to leave your leper behind.
Yeah.
Okay, but...
Yeah.
I mean, he dressed more like the serfs in a Monty Python sketch, but not really like
yeah.
Like, specifically, he reminded me of Palin through most of the Holy Grail. That little leather cap.
Oh, man. I forgot. When I mentioned Camelot the first time in the recap, I was going to go, Camelot, Camelot, Camelot. It's only a model. And I totally forgot.
I'm sorry. Well, you still got to do it.
I still got to do it, but it wasn't fun. Yeah. Okay, it was still fun.
You still enjoyed it. You know, you got to have some fun for yourself today.
Yeah.
So everything with Mick and Victor, fantastic. Thieves have a certain smell. Yeah. I thought that was because you didn't bathe. What did you take? Later, they're talking about the handy tech, and Mick just says, like, and he took it off a dead guy. Even I was impressed.
Yep.
And my favorite of all of them, put the dog collar on, Professor.
Mm-hmm.
Or just after that, Jax, Mick, and Victor, we'll let you know when it's time to take control of the evil army. Ah,
I did enjoy
finally
that
I get to fulfill my destiny. God help us.
That was good. I hate Ray.
I just liked hate him. I knew that was going to be a thing we disagreed on, because I know how stupid he was. This was dumb. But a long, like, all right, I even wrote it down. A long time ago, that dream meant the world to a little boy, and he still remembers. Like, that is a good line. And he's acting really dumb, sure. But he's acting really dumb in like a kind of adorable way that, like, only Brandon Routh could pull off.
Yeah, but he's fighting Damien Dark, and he's like, I am Sir Raymond of the Palms, and on behalf of my 12-year-old self, allow me to retort. And I'm like, oh, you loser.
I know, he's a giant nerd. But that's kind of...
You're fighting Damien Dark.
But that was the point, was like, and I thought they did a good job of, like, stating that as the backstory. It was like, he was a lonely kid who didn't have any friends because he was weird, and he was kind of too smart, and it didn't work out for him. And like, he had this, like, Camelot where everything worked out, and, like, it was his little bedtime story that made everything kind of okay. Like, he felt like he was part of something somehow. And mm-hmm. like, so that little 12-year-old, you know, forgotten child now gets to grow up and participate. And, you know, I know how silly all that is, and I was still rooting for him the whole episode. But part of why was because they had Nate being the real actor, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at the very end, when he runs off after dark, you just get, damn it, Ray! The subtext of that is, stop doing stupid shit, Ray!
Uh-huh.
Like,
and, you know, Damien is a member of the League of Shadows. Like, Damien had trouble against Malcolm Merlyn.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was killed by the only person to really beat Malcolm Merlyn, which was...
Era.
Oliver Queen. Mm-hmm. So...
What
are we to believe?
What
that,
chance
I mean,
Raymond
I
of the Palms
like,
had?
Yeah,
against...
I would have been okay with him. Well, I am Sir Raymond of the Palms, and on behalf of my 12-year-old self, allow me to retort. And then Damien just runs over and slits his throat. I wanted that. Not that I wanted Ray to die.
I didn't want him to die, but I for a second I thought they actually were going to martyr in this episode.
I feel like they should have killed him and let his legend live that way, and then hurry up and take him back to the ship and save him. Because they could totally do that.
Yeah.
It would have been hilarious to see that.
Instead, he gets this... He does get a full story this episode when you look really closely at it. Because, like, at the end of the episode, Nate, who... I love Nate's shtick the whole time, too. He keeps trying to save his dumb friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it did. It kind of grounded it to have him chasing around his friend, calling him a dumbass the whole time. But... You get to the very end, though, and it's the same book where he opened it before and saw Ray dead. And he asks, like, well, do you want to know how you're remembered? And Ray's over it now. Like, he's lived that part of himself. He's faced that lonely 12-year-old, and he's grown up. He has friends now. He got over it. So he didn't even want to know what's in the book. But in the book, he's a revered hero. He has a cool story. It's just a little damn silly.
Yeah. Like, see, it looked like, to me, it looked like they were crowning him king. Which made me wonder if there wasn't more coming later.
I didn't know if it was a crown thing. I mean, Arthur's back.
She had a crown. She was placing it on his head.
Like, Arthur's back, so, I mean, they've got a king.
I don't know.
Maybe a...
Yeah, I don't know.
Honorary king?
I guess. Painfully bad line. You ready to get medieval out there? Come on, guys.
It was mandatory, though.
I guess so. And as much as this show has to be bad, a certain ratio of the time, like, it just has to be.
I don't know exactly what I was thinking when I wrote this down, but I just wrote down Sarah Lancelot's a lady love.
Dude, it is getting annoying that every woman they meet in history,
every historical figure that she comes across,
every woman in history.
I mean, just let her, like, say hi to a girl every now and then.
Yeah. Ugh. And man, Guinevere's wig was bad.
Oh yeah. what else was there? Oh, just something that made no sense. Why would Arthur be out, like, why would the king be out hunting for the Black Knight alone? Why is that not, like, what's his homeboy's name? The guy who died.
Galahad.
Why is Galahad not out there with him?
I don't know. I'm guessing because Arthur likes to go it alone sometimes.
I don't know.
This all seemed kind of dumb.
But there are times where Sarah looks like a good leader and times where she looks like a terrible one. And this was a terrible one. So over the course of this episode, you realize she made a decision. Amaya questioned her decision. So she's already got crew members getting uppity with her and wasn't able to resolve the situation. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're a captain, people are going to be uppity with you. They're going to question your decisions every now and then. The key to being a captain is you resolve the situation. Hopefully without resorting to "because I said so." It's like the worst thing a leader could do. But she doesn't resolve the situation at all. What she ends up doing is changing the way that she handles it when she has the opportunity the next time. Which now shows Amaya that maybe she was right the first time, Sarah. So when the opportunity kind of went at the climax of it, we have Mick telling her, "Don't tell me what to do." We have other people hopping up off the ship. And then when Amaya finally says, "No, you were right before," then Sarah agrees that she was right the first time. Like, this is, she just waffled all over the damn place and then let everybody, like, talk back at her. What are we doing here?
Well, apparently she can't, you know.
Like, she wasn't able to pull rank effectively, and she wasn't able to resolve the situation, and all she did was, like, do whatever Amaya thought she was supposed to do the whole episode.
Look, man, she can't have her head everywhere, all right? She's already thinking with her dick.
Yeah, I see that.
Because every, like you said, every woman that she sees, she is female Captain Kirk at this point.
Actually, you're right.
You realize
right.
that.
That's a good point.
Like, she...
That's a good point. And I think it was either you or somebody else that pointed out to me that, like, for all the Kirk sexing aliens drama that he only, like, made out with, like, two or something during the course of the show or something like that.
No, it was the over exaggeration is that it's every episode. There were 79 episodes. He only made out with 18 women.
Oh, okay, all right. So
and only it was only two that he actually had feelings for, something like that.
Okay.
The others were, it was all just some sort of, like, mad scheme to get out of whatever entrapment they'd been.
Well, not, okay, but 18 out of 79 is still, that's a good, I'm happy to have that overgeneralization out there. That can stand. She's catching up real fast.
Yeah. Yeah, she is.
Yeah. I mean, good for her, but damn, guys, stop writing that in. It's just, like, we're going back to the well too often.
It's like, we get it.
Hell, I mean, I support it. It's not even a question of that. Just going back to the same well too often. That's getting a little, like, come on, man. Find another joke.
Yeah. And knowing these writers, like I said, they're Star Trek fans. They probably have went, "Oh, man, Sarah should be like Captain Kirk."
If they point that out at some point, you've got a free card. We're back. Like, if Jax actually says something about, like, you know, she's kissed so many historical figures at this point, she's like Time's Captain Kirk, I'd be like, "Jax, good call. Writers, you're back. We're all good here. Hit it,
okay,
Sarah."
Yeah, but even at this point, Star Trek has hung the lantern on that one. Like, Star Trek VI, Kirk, like, 60-year-old Captain Kirk makes out with Iman in, like, an alien prison. And when she takes off, McCoy just looks over and goes, "What the hell is it with you anyway?"
they just need to give it a new twist is all. I mean, anyway. It's really funny back in the day of, like, when she was when they were about to, like, burn her at the stake and, like, "You've corrupted all of our women." It's like, in all fairness, they were easily corrupted. That was funny.
That was funny.
It was
that
good.
Was funny.
No problems here.
Or they were happily corrupted.
Happily corrupted, I think. Yeah.
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 I'll as an end note, I'll say, you know, I've never actually read the any of the Camelot 3000 stuff in the comics.
Nah, I've never gotten to that one either. So I'm sure we're vaguely, missing a ton.
Yeah, I'm vaguely aware of it, and I would assume, like, if I understood it correctly, it was Arthur and the Round Table, like, reincarnated into the future, into the year 3000, and they were like biomechanical, like futuristic Knights of the Round Table.
I have no idea.
An idea that's a lot more dumb and a lot cooler somehow than this.
I mean, it's a cool idea, and I hear good things about the book. I just, it never has made it into my actual hands, so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's like a ton of little Easter eggs in there we didn't get.
Yeah, can't hit everything up.
No, sorry. That was only like all something right. I was vaguely aware existed, and then now it's on my radar, but that's as far as it made it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to try to find a copy of it somewhere.
Yeah. I've still got a few more things in the queue before that, but dude,
I'm purposefully going to try to find it before I read Animal Man.
Oh, you bastard.
What? Did I what?
It's going to cost me like $70 to ship that. I'm going to ship the entire omnibus to you, though. It's just going to show up on your doorstep with a, like, damn you, read it.
I read nothing that has a curse on the front.
I know. Yeah, I'm good. I'm out. I was done with it.
Yeah, okay.
God only knows what Mick was thinking about when he destroyed that technology. That's got to be rough.
Yeah, it does. All right, guys, we are DC On Screen. You can find every episode at DCOnScreen.com. You can find us at the Giant Size Team Up Network, GiantSizeTeamUp.com, because we're a member of that and stuff. So go check that out. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We talk to get people all the time. Every time you guys talk to us, we at least say something back. Even if it's every only time. One word. Maybe not every time.
Yep.
But most every time.
Yep.
Anyway, we're going to be right back with Arrow 514, The Sin Eater. Until then, keep some DC on your screen.